Hello, Internet. I'm Ewan Spence.
I'm Ben Morris.
And I'm Dave Cargill.
And this, well, that sounds rather American with a bit of a Scottish tinge. That's my job, Dave. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome once more to Jukebox Jury. A number of songs heading to this year's Eurovision Song Contest in Kiev stand before us on a playlist. We shall listen, we shall discuss, we shall dissect, and we shall have somebody called Dave who's stealing my lines and rhythm. But before we get to the stranger in the room, judge number one, Ben Morris. Welcome back, Ben.
Hello, Ewan.
How has life been treating you?
It's fine. I do apologise in advance if I cough and splutter. I'm just recovering from a cold, but otherwise I'm very well.
Ben Morris, of course, famous for the mini pops that have been around Eurovision for countless years now. Project continues this year as well.
It does, yes. I've just finished all of them, thankfully. Yeah, I'm glad to get them all.
I love that look of pensive horror. Have I actually finished them?
No, I have. I have. Yes, I finished them yesterday.
Is there any point where you look at the artists being selected and you go, I wish somebody else had won the national final?
Yeah, usually when a group with six members is picked, that's when I think, I wish it was a soloist, because obviously it takes six times as long to draw them.
As they would say on the other side of the Atlantic, long-time listener, first-time caller, Dave Cargill joins us. You escaped to LA to be writer, TV producer, and Discovery Channel, and turn yourself into sort of big wig sounding US TV hotshot.
But I have a horriblest accent. I have this blend between Fife and Los Angeles. So I have to, literally apologise right now. And please forgive me when I go straight into the American cadence. It's really nasty.
That's fine. We have Americans listening as well. We are an international show. Countless times at Eurovision, though. You've been backstage for well over 10, 15 years now.
Yeah, actually, it's going to be my 20th. I skipped two where I was there, but I didn't actively work in the press that I expect. I missed Jerusalem. I wish I had made it there, but I didn't make it to Jerusalem. But yeah, it's amazing. I'm still only 30, but I've been to 20 Eurovisions.
Why is it that Eurovision has never broken America? I mean, we've sent them Piers Morgan. They sent him back. They took The Weakest Link. They took Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Why have they took X Factor and Dancing with the Stars and all of that? Why haven't they taken to Eurovision?
You know, the way that I think Eurovision is set up is specifically based on the country you come from. That's the identity given to the entry. In America, the states don't have that rivalry. If you have Nebraska versus Vermont, nobody cares. Whereas here, it's very important if United Kingdom or Sweden or Germany are up, you already have a lot of stereotypes. So you have characteristics and mannerisms related to that country. And it would also be nice to beat them at Eurovision this year or get 12 points from them. There's nothing like that in America. So there isn't the history or the importance that we have with Eurovision.
Ah, I shall keep trying. Get there one day. Anyway, enough of more lofty ambitions. Let's bring it back down now. Jukebox Jury, six songs taking to the stage in this week's show. Yes, we're finally getting around to talking about Italy, but you might have to wait a little bit longer. United Kingdom, Albania, Azerbaijan, Macedonia and Poland are all in the mix looking for the we've never said what they actually mean hit misses or maybes and just a general bit of chit chat along the way. We'll start off with Poland, last year's surprisingly high placing for Mike Starling, surprised many. And we will now see if Kezia Moss can continue that fine run of form with Flashlight. Kezia Moss there, Flashlight for Poland. Dave, make your judging debut.
I think she's got the best voice this year, full stop, as you say, in this country, in period, as we say in my country. When I watch this, I'm fixated. I cannot stop watching her. I saw her in the Ukrainian national final. And, okay, she had the dress that really, she's taken Celine's 1988 dress into 2017, but I was absolutely taken aback by her cadence, the way that she adds so much texture to her words. She's got all these keychains that every Eurovision fan should adore. I absolutely love this. And when you join a song like this and it goes everywhere you want it to go, then you can ask for nothing better. And I'm absolutely impressed. And when you add on the number of polls around Europe, this is going to do much better than people imagine.
I think a lot of people have been looking at this and are quickly dismissing it. But when you look back at what Poland done with their national final this year, they've went 50-50. They had an international jury and they had the public vote as well. Last year, to choose Mike Sterling, was 100% public vote. So Michael Spiak, I just love the translation. And when it came round to Stockholm, there was a very much depressed jury vote in 2016 for Poland. But that diaspora power that Poland has hauled it all the way back up to, I think, to 8th place. And that's Poland's like third best result. They managed a 7th back in 2003-2004, and of course they were 2nd on their debut, but it was 100% jury then, so let's just skip that out. So they went, oh, we're okay in the public vote, but we're a bit weak on the jury vote. And then their national final comes along and go, right, okay, but we want something that works the tele vote and jury as well. This is an incredibly strategic choice, and Poland are playing the game very well. They've not necessarily entered a good song. I have problems with the song, especially when it goes Higher Desire, Fire and Wire. I mean, just like, sorry. Oh, I'm sure you've got something else, Ben. You know that. But, you know, so the song as a song isn't brilliant. As a song going into a contest, I think it is.
Yeah, well, I would agree with both of you here. I think Dave is exactly right, saying that she has an amazing voice. I saw her in Amsterdam, and she's got a great set of lungs on her. She's so powerful. I have problems with the song as well, though, and there's that clunky section, like a burning desire, taking me higher, walking the wire.
With a bit of fire as well.
And that comes very early on in the song, actually. So when I heard it for the first time, I thought, oh, what the hell? And it crops up again a bit later. But it kind of does interrupt the flow a bit. But I think once it gets going, it reminds me of the sort of Bond-like song that Conchita could take and do something great with. I think it will do well. I don't think it's a dead certainty from getting from the semis to the final. Like last year, I did think that he would get through. But this year, I'm not sure, because I don't think the song is as memorable.
I don't think it's as strong as Colour of My Life last year. I think that was... That song, I think, actually should have had more jury appeal than it was. I think they just looked at it and went, oh, it's too old, it's too pastiche, it's too Curtis Steiger. And I still think that, you know, that Fire, Higher Desire, Wire is clunky enough that the jurors are going to go, you've went for that? And, you know, if you could find another way of doing that emotion in that lyric, I think that would have served it far, far better. But it's in that big block of female, slightly complicated ballads. And there's, we've had to put at least two of them in every single jukebox jury. We've got at least three in this week's show. So you're in that sort of that competition. And I don't think it stands out. Technically competent, yes. Wonderful singer, yes. But does it give you a reason to pick up the phone for anybody who's not Polish? I don't see it.
Yeah, 2 points. First of all, in the jury, I think the jury will also listen to her incredible vocals, and I'll think that they will remember her, not only because she's absolutely beautiful, she also sings incredibly. Ukrainian national final again, she held that note at the end, and the backing track had finished, and she was still holding it. People are going to be, I think, from a jury perspective, very impressed, because they're, of course, experts. You know, when it comes to the public, I think that she differentiates herself from the other female singers as well. Already we've seen her sing live a couple of times. I think they're going to have a visual presentation that could be just as good as last year's for Poland. There's clearly a successful team there working now. They know what they're doing, as you said, since they took their break for the football a couple of years ago. But I honestly think Poland will qualify, and I do believe that it's going to do much better. For me, this is a hit.
I think that exactly what you're saying, Ewan, about how she is a young female, long hair, singing a power ballad. Will she stand out from the other young female, long-haired power ballad singers? I don't know whether she will, but she does have a great voice. I'm going to put this in the maybe category.
Mm-hmm. I have this in the maybe category as well. I actually think there are better singers in the female power ballad. We have one coming up in this jukebox, Sherry. But Poland does have that diaspora advantage. Yes, everybody, as I said before, starts at 0 points. But you know that there are some countries that know they're going to automatically get threes and fours from certain countries, so they have a slight advantage. Poland has that slight advantage. I think it's comfortably through the semi-final because of that. And in the final, again, left-hand side of the score table is clearly on for Poland. There are advantages, and if that's what the jurors are listening for, great. If they've decided to go for something else, then it's not going to happen. So it is a maybe for me. It's a solid start for Poland as we kick off there. Two maybes and a hit. We move on now to Macedonia and the delightfully modern, again, complicated electronica sound, Dance Alone from Jana Berzeska. Macedonia there, and they have a really weak record at qualification, and like all the delegations, they're really hungry for it. But this year I do get the sense that they're a bit more hungry than normal.
Yes, it's a great catchy song, and I think it is one of the better up-tempo songs in the contest this year. But I've got a feeling it's going to fall flat on its face. I saw her both in London and in Amsterdam, and she mimed on both occasions, which I was quite surprised at, actually, because I thought, you know, the whole point in going to these preview parties is to practice and to curry some favour with the fans. And I think most people were slightly disappointed, really, that she hadn't bothered to sing live.
I mean, I had to have a word with the team at London Eurovision because of the vocal effects that are being put onto this track. The soundboard in Kiev has far more twiddly knobs that can be done than in these live ones. Right. So they couldn't get the effect that they wanted. Okay, yeah, and you're squinting your eyebrows, and I am as well. I say, well, that's fine. Why don't you have a version that you can do live at cabaret as well? Why don't you have an acoustic version ready? Yes, there is still a question mark over live vocals. And while we don't tend to bring in the preview performances into Jukebox Sherry, to be fair to those that go in the early rounds, this song does have a really big question mark over it.
Yes, I haven't seen her sing it live anywhere, actually. So it feels like it's a bit of an unknown quantity. And the very fact that the song is called I Will Dance Alone makes you think she's going to be on stage alone. So she might not have the backup of anybody else on stage. And I think, you know, is she going to pull it off? She doesn't appear to be very charismatic on stage.
She's very kooky. That's the thing I got from London Eurovision. She certainly, you can notice her on the room. Now, whether that comes through in the stage performance, again, that remains quite unclear. In terms of backing singers, the last two stages at Eurovision have had a space for backing singers out of shot. Austria, it was down the back of the stage in a little circular pool. Sweden actually had a stage higher up. If you can remember where they did the joke appearance of Europe the Band, that was where you could put backing singers and they would never be in camera shot. It was counted as a stage. So yeah, she can still be on the stage and dance alone and still have the power of the backing singer that is Eurovision aficionados trying to look around and go, where is it actually coming from? The issue I have with this song, and it took me a while to work out what this was that I just kept expecting it to break into Calvin Harris and being acceptable in the 80s. Because it's not plagiarism, let's go nowhere near that words, but the style and the electronic beats and the BPM and everything just fits into that Calvin Harris mould. It makes it sound, to my ears, modern and accessible. But it also means that there's nothing Macedonian in this song. You could quite easily have a Katy Perry come out with this song and it would be a Katy Perry song. You could have any of the artists at any national final bring out Dance Alone and it would be their song. And I like having at least something that makes me think the song belongs to a country. And we don't have that a huge amount at Eurovision. We've just had Poland. Poland could have been from anywhere. We look at some of the other songs that we've got in the show today, and they could be anywhere. So, yeah, maybe that's a bit of another kick at Macedonia, where it's a kicking deserves for everybody, but it just adds another layer of identicateness to the song, and it doesn't feel completely genuine to me. I mean, even when we go to the video, Jan is not in the video for a lot of it. There's the chances to connect with the singer are being reduced as many times as possible.
You know, when I first heard this, I thought that this feels perfectly created for a video and also created for an album rather than a live performance. And I think that's where I struggle, because Macedonia really, I think, have struggled, especially with Autumn Leaves in 2015 with Daniel, which was perfectly sung. Really great song. He had a lot of experience. But then Macedonia took it to the performance on stage, and that's never really worked for them. Now, we're being told that there's an artistic director, Ambra, who choreographed for Polly Geneva and Laureen. So that tends to suggest that the girl singing Dance Alone is going to have a choreographed piece on stage. That's my concern for Macedonia, is we don't see any evidence that that's been a very good move for them with some of their songs that perhaps might have been more impactful had they had less on stage.
When you go to judge just the song, it is acceptable in the 80s. It's just that when you start looking beyond it, like, is there any more depth? Is this playing the game? Is it competitive? Is it a good song for a contest? That's where I find this number wanting. As a song, if it to come on the radio, to get countless airplays throughout a week as the single of the week, it's got complicated, it's depth, and it would do very well. 1 3-minute shot on a semi-final night, I think this struggles. I think it's just targeted slightly wrong. And I don't want to give this a miss, because it feels like it should be working, but I don't think it's going to. So, yes, it does get a miss.
Yes, it gets a miss for me. I think there's an awful lot going on here. I think there's different sources, different genres, different influences for this song. As Ben has mentioned as well, we don't know how this is going to sound on stage yet. We've not heard it live, so that also concerns me too.
I really do like the song. It's one of the ones I do play again and again, but I do have the reservations. And for me, it's a maybe, because I really don't think she's going to be able to carry it off on stage.
Two songs down, four to go. As always, you can leave your comments back on the website, eseinsight.com. You'll find us also on Facebook and Twitter. Tumblr kicks off as well. ESE Buzz will also give you all the headlines. Ben, you can find his illustrations on pirated T-shirts in China. there's probably an official outlet as well for them. I guarantee there'll be at least one. That's a Ben Morris mini pop, but that's not one of his T-shirts.
Oh, probably. Yes, I've seen a few knockoffs in the past, but you just got to, you've got, what is it they say about imitation being the greatest form of flattery?
Yeah, they were never going to buy from you anyway, just as long as people you are buying it. Yeah. Where can people see the mini pops this year?
Well, I've just joined Instagram. I've come into the 20th century. I've just joined Instagram, so they're on there, and they're on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, Euro and
pops,
and Dave has my Instagram, but you're still lurking there on little 100 watts of music power out of Los Angeles.
I am. I'm old fashioned when it comes to that, but you're right. When it comes to a lot of my TV work, it's out there for online download, and obviously Instagram as well. But yeah. I love the traditional old radio when it comes to music.
Go on, give us a station call sign. Go all American for us.
You're listening to Dave Cargill, KCLA 99.3 FM, every single Friday morning at 8 a.m. We're now kicking in with a brand new song here from Azerbaijan, Skeletons. When we hook up, it's fantasy. We're just like alchemy. I've never been so ready.
Skeletons are from Azerbaijan. I'm back with this word complicated again, because like Macedonia, again, we have a song that doesn't really speak to me that it's Azerbaijani. It's another, let's get one in, let's have something that's modern, that's fresh, that sounds like something you would hear on the radio. And to be fair, Eurovision needs music like that. It needs to have some cut through. It needs to have some hits in the regions. It'd be really nice to have some overarching Europe-wide hit. I think we might manage that this year. Skeletons, I just think that, again, on one listen, when you've got one go to listen to the song that most people will be voting for, I don't think it hooks you in. It took me a long time to appreciate this song. It just constantly weaves and shifts between different rhythms and different patterns and emotions, and now I genuinely love it. It is one of those ones that is so rich that if you look underneath the surface there, you find another layer and another. It's like an onion, and it is constantly giving little musical gifts back. And I just really like that depth, but it doesn't have the accessibility I think that it needs to have to do incredibly well. Of course, Azerbaijan, we're at the point of, yes, every country enters to try and win, but some countries want to win more than others, and I don't think Azerbaijan is in that category. They want to do well, they want to beat Armenia, let's be fair here, but they don't necessarily want to push for the victory really, really hard. If it turns up, great, they'll take it, but they're not on an all-out mission for it. And I think Skeleton serves that incredibly well. It's rich, it shows off a good skill set. Diage looks stunning on stage. Let's just see how accessible that stunning look is. But it just falls short of that immediate greatness.
I think this is very authentic to who the artists are themselves. It expresses their point of view. We've heard three or four of their other tracks that are very available online. They describe themselves as experimental pop. And I'll sign up for that. I don't necessarily understand the lyrics so much. Have my things, have my millions, here's my skeletons. I'm not following the lyrics, but you know what this is? To me, it's a very, very true and authentic to the band, not necessarily the country. You know, addressing your point there, are they in it to win it? Well, they've got the same team as Running Scared, their only win here. So I actually think they are in it to win it. They've taken 3 years where they've not done very well. So I think they're realising they can qualify, but to make that extra impression, I think that a song like this as well, if you present this incredibly in stage, reminds me of Turkey in 2010, Manga, if you stick to who you are as a band, but you happen to be on a Eurovision stage, then people will understand you're being honest with your performance.
And without looking, my brain goes, Manga were second that year?
And I'm saying, in my head, I think Azerbaijan will be in the top three. This is a very honest performance.
It would not surprise. I would be happily surprised, but it would not surprise me if that happened, because it does have that depth. It does have that song, and you know, the cynic in me goes, were they really in it to win it with Running Scared, or was it just it's just happened? We always wanted to win. Right. We need to build a stadium. We need to build a peninsula. We need to build some fences on the road out to the airport. A whole smash.
I think it's a great song. It's a really powerful synth start, and I think the verse really hooks you in. I think the chorus it's slightly average. I think it lets it down slightly. I think the verse is fantastic. There are some great words in there. I love the use of the word alchemy in there. But as Dave was saying, some of the lyrics are a little strange. Amazed by thorn jeans. I'm not really sure what that means. I thought she was originally saying amazed by foreign jeans, as in jeans with a G. And the title itself, have my skeletons. I mean, how many skeletons does one person have? Does she mean bones? I think she possibly means bones.
I don't know. Ben, how many skeletons do you have?
Well, that's it. You see, she might have a whole closet full. I don't know.
Imagine keeping things in the closet in Azerbaijan.
Oh, yes, you'd probably have to, wouldn't you? I think, yes, it could be top three. It could be top three, but I have to say, having seen her in Amsterdam perform live, I have my doubts now, because it was a very timid performance, extremely timid. It was very disappointing. I was going to put a bet on this, and then I thought twice after seeing her. She just seemed really uncomfortable on stage. So, of course, we've got a month to go yet. That could all change, but I have that slight doubt in my mind. Despite all that, I'm going to say hit.
Definitely hit for me.
I'm right in the middle of hit and maybe on this one. I do think it's maybe, because I have the concerns that Ben has over the sort of timidity, but also the look as well. She has this incredibly 80s synth look, and that can go either way on stage. That if it's done well, it will be memorable, like Polly Ganova last year. If it's done badly, it's going to be like Charlotte Pirelli's Heroes, and everybody's just going to go, nope, and you not even give a thought to the other 2 minutes and 58 seconds of the song. It will be an instant choice made up there. And the indications are, I think it's going to be the harsher side of things. So it is a very, very high maybe, but still just a maybe for me on that one. Right, we'll move on to Albania. We'll need to check it back. I think this was first song chosen, but not necessarily first artist. I'm sure if I'm wrong, people will gleefully correct me in the comments. It's almost like I'm giving you a tiny gift to work with. Lindita, of course, the winner of Festival at Ikeng, is now coming up with the remix. Moving it into English, we have World.
Does anybody care? We can, I'm afraid. Wondering if I will make it through this day.
Right, Ben, Lindita, how easy a mini pop was she to make?
Well, it's funny, we've just been watching the video for this, and one thing that struck me, that hasn't struck me before, but there are actually three performers this year who've got gap teeth. So there's her, and there's Denmark, and Bulgaria as well. They've all got a little space between their front teeth. You notice that sort of thing when you're drawing them. That's about the only interesting thing I can say about this song, to be honest. I mean, it's not a bad song. She's got a great voice, and she was certainly great in Amsterdam. But I mentioned to my friend Chris that I'd be talking about Albania today, and he said what she needs is a gimmick like not turning up. And I think
Russia have got their monopoly in that one.
Well, there's that. Yes, that's true, actually. I think they've beaten them there. It's okay. But like we were saying earlier, how there are so many young women with long hair singing power ballads. How is this going to stand out amongst all the other similar songs? And I really don't know. I think she might struggle, and I really hope she doesn't wear what she wore in Amsterdam, because she looked like she'd been through a shredder, and the back of the costume was riding so high between her buttocks, you know, you just knew there was serious chafing going on there. It was very unflattering, and so she's got to be very careful with her wardrobe in Kiev, I think.
World commits for me the cardinal sin of being utterly average. I like my Eurovision songs to bring strong emotion out. Whether that is love or Spain, it doesn't matter. I want to feel something about a song. and I feel nothing about this song. It is there, it's 3 minutes, there's vocal exercises going on in the middle that makes me think it's sub Mariah Carey. The video has got lovely CGI backdrops, but she's obviously doing it in a green screen room, and there's just nothing that gets my heart racing, good or bad, in this one. And that for me is just the point of this. Is you've only got 3 minutes on stage, you've got to impress, you've got to reach out, you've got to connect somehow, and there's nothing in this song that I can grab onto. And so Ben, I know you were joking in part that there's only a little bit in the illustration, but for me, I'm not even an illustrator, so I don't have the dental work to think about. It's just,
she's very forgettable looking, and it's very forgettable sounding. You know, I think people might mix her up with France if she gets that far into the final. You know, and there are one or two other artists, I think, who look a little bit similar. She's just not really got much going for her, I don't think.
You know, I think there's mixed messages going on here for me. The lyrics say, I'm weak and I'm afraid. I'm wondering if I can make it through the day. But all we see is sex and skin on the video. And her performance that we're seeing, it's very sexual, I think, what she's wearing on the video. She's showing a lot of skin. She's very groomed. She looks so beautiful. She doesn't look like somebody who's pondering the future and does anyone really care. So I wonder if that's what you're feeling, Ben. I mean, I just look at this and I think, I saw her London performance. She really had a beautiful dress on, and I'm worried she's gone commercial modern rather than sticking to the traditional Albanian language route that might have made her stick out from some of the other performers. So for me, this is mixed messages. It's not looking like a message of hope, which is her theme. This is a maybe for me.
As high as a maybe. It strikes a miss for me. Albania has a little bit of diaspora support, but it struggles always to get out of the semi-finals. It's not a guaranteed qualifier. Maybe I'm missing something in this. Maybe there's something in here. There's something in the presentation of the tones. But yeah, Dave, you may well have just picked up on the sort of jump that doesn't match up in my head, and it doesn't click together. The visuals don't match the sound, don't match the theme. It's just not there at all. So for me, it's a miss.
And it's a miss from me. I just don't think it has enough to make it stand out, sadly.
So that's Albania's world there. We move on to go on, as always, comments, Facebook and everything as well. The podcast, once we get to Eurovision, will switch to a daily chat from backstage from Monday the 1st of May. We might even sneak in one on the Sunday as well, just as a little warm-up, depending what time everybody flies in. And we'll have, obviously, lots more content going up on ESC Insight, giving you our look backstage, what we're seeing, the rehearsals and all of that feedback in a nice little slice of half an hour every day of your time to listen and read on the website as well. Two to go. Shall we go with... we'll go with the United Kingdom next. And yes, that means we're leaving Italy to the end. Come on, Krister taught me. But before we get there, starting on BBC Four, now moving on to BBC Two for 2017, this is Never Give Up On You.
Now you can see how far you've walked, the mountains climbed, the oceans cried.
Never Give Up On You, this year's United Kingdom track for the Eurovision Song Contest from Lucy Jones. Dave?
I think this is a very confident singer based in the United States. I don't watch X Factor live, but when I heard her name, based on the DVDs that were sent to me all these years, I remembered her. She's memorable. She had such a... I think when you perform live every Saturday... and you're, especially in a final with Ollie Murs and Joe McKeldry, there's a lot of pressure, and she's been through that, and that she's going to bring that confidence to the stage. I certainly felt that when I watched the British final as well. I think the lyrics are beautiful. I think that the re-presentation and reimagination, the orchestration is really, really good. It complements her voice. You know, the other thing they have to do is just get the visuals right. How are they going to present this song? This is my only concern. You know, I was thinking of some of the songs, I think, where the visual presentation on stage has been outstanding. Kiara in Moscow and Secret Garden and obviously the Olsen Brothers. You play to something that's very strong and powerful with the camera angles. I'm hoping that's what they bring her. That's the only element missing for me. I actually think it's a very, very strong song, and I personally like the package. I want to hear her voice again. When I've listened to this, I want to hear it one more time.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Dave. In Lucy Jones, the BBC has one of the strongest performers for years. The X Factor background gives that sort of live TV feel. But the fact is, she's going out on stage in the West End, or in the moment she's touring in Rent, pretty much every night. She knows what it's like to go out and sing to a couple of thousand people. With the best will in the world to Joe and Jake, Bianca and Alex, they didn't have that experience. I know Alex had done a little bit of big festival appearances, but it was as a tribute act in a band. It wasn't going out there as a singer every night to try and win over the audiences. Lucy has that. So in terms of what will be done automatically by her in her head, where somebody like Joe and Jake had to think about what to do last year, she has a lot more spare capacity to think about the performance and to think about the vocals. Here's the thing, I don't think the studio version serves her well. I think that when you look at the best performance I've seen of this one is the UK national final, where she was left unfettered. There wasn't any gimmicks running around. It was like, I'm in a theatre, I'm on a stage, I'm a West End singer, I know exactly what to do here. And she just found something else in the live performance, and I think that is the greatest strength in this song.
I've got mixed feelings about it, and I will just consult my copious notes for this. I think she was far and away the best performance in Eurovision You Decide. She it wasn't my favourite song, but she was the most confident performance. She was the most in tune performer, and you really felt that she was feeling what she was singing. She was confident and she was passionate. I do have my doubts, though, and I can't see this reviving our fortunes, to be honest. As we've said already, she's got a history of musical theatre and it shows. That genre isn't a favourite of mine, and I do find her voice a little bit grating in the upper register. I think she's very strong, and when she's soft at the beginning, she's great, but I think it very quickly becomes belt, 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 and ends up rather shouty. And there are a couple of lines, Don't Let Go, I think she sings at one point, where it just grates on me slightly. There isn't much subtlety to this or the actual song. I think it's virtually 3 minutes of vocals. It leaves the viewer very little chance to take stock of what's happened or where the song is going. It feels rather rushed, I should say. It's verse, chorus, middle eight, reprise, one after the other. I think there's a very slight gap between the first verse and first chorus, maybe. But apart from that, there's hardly a chance to take a breath. And I think it should have gone through another version, really, which just sort of slowed it down slightly and allowed the audience to just to compute what was happening, really. I'm with Dave, though, when he says that the version that we're hearing now, the one that will go to Eurovision, is stronger than the previous one. I prefer it with a beat, actually, and I actually think the dance remix is fantastic. The actual version, there's something lacking. I really want to like this more than I do, because I think she seems a really nice person and she really wants it. She wants to be there. You know, she's obviously very enthusiastic about Eurovision. But yeah, there is something lacking about it for me.
I think this is going to do really well with the juries. I think if we were back in the 90s, I think I'd be quite confident of saying top 10. I think this has a chance of top 10-ing with the juries, because it's going to come down to Lucy on the night, and I think she will deliver on the night. But I don't see anything at the moment that will make people at home pick up the phone and vote for it. I think it's going to be much weaker on the televote, which is kind of a similar pattern to what we have last year. and the reverse of what Poland had last year.
I feel it's she personalizes the song Never Give Up On You. You know, as Ben says, it's heavy lyrics, heavy vocals. These, for me, allow me to connect with her. She's got this West End experience. There's other singers, female singers, who I can't connect with. I don't feel anything when I hear them sing, and I don't identify with what they're saying. Here, for me, it's the whole package. And I think that, yes, jury members especially, but I think the public will connect with this. And I agree, a bit like Hovi Starr, who was fourth when the juries had finished prior to the televoting last year, I think she'll be right up there too. And it's all about whether or not she can connect with the audience out there. But she knows which camera to sing in, and she's going to be very, very good on. We saw that already.
For me, it is a maybe. Lucy has the voice. The song is modern, but it's a visual contest as well. And I would love to be convinced. I'd love to walk out of the first rehearsal and go, yep. But I've hoped that for the last couple of years, and I've never quite got there. So it stays as very high, but still a maybe.
A hit for me.
I would give this a maybe as well. I'm not sure whether it's going to do anything for us. I would probably agree with you, and I can see the juries favouring this more than the telly votes. I think it's a bit average, really.
Right then, now we have the United Kingdom. They're storming up two maybes and a hit, drawing level with Poland. Azerbaijan is still marginally in the lead, but we have one song left to go, and as promised at the top, and has been teased for pretty much every other single jukebox jury leading up to this point. Now is the time for us to roll up to the San Remo winner from last year in the newcomers, and the San Remo winner from this year's in the main Campioni. First artist that's ever been able to do that double. We have Francesco Gabani and Occidentali's Karma. Cercasi, umanità virtuale, sex appeal. Comunque vada pantarei, and singing in the rain. Lezioni di Nirvana, c'è butta in fila indiana, per tutti un'ora d'aria di gloria. Occidentali's Karma there. For Italy, RAI are hungry for the win. That is clear from everything that I can see. Ben, you really enjoyed that video, didn't you?
I know a lot of people really love this song, and I'm afraid I'm not one of them. You know, I can see, you know, it's got, I'm in no doubt it's got a potential to win. I can't deny its popularity. But I really don't get what the fuss is all about. I think it's an average song is only memorable because the singer looks like Private Walker and there's a man in a gorilla suit behind him. Francesco is the boy who used to make everyone laugh at high school, and by sixth form he just got the wrong side of irritating. There are just several phrases in here that are more than slightly toe-curling, and the most cringe-worthy line in the whole contest for me is singing in the rain, which just makes my it's like,
oh, even more than Malta's a vacancy in my heart.
Even more so than that. It's like
wowzer.
Chalk down a blackboard. It's just it really gets on my nerves. It's a win-win situation, because if it wins, we go to Italy, and that would be fantastic.
Milano!
Yes, Milan would be fantastic. I've never been to Italy.
No, it's $200 a night, even if we book the hotel now.
I don't care where it is in Italy. I've never been, and I really love to go, so that would be great. And if it doesn't win, then it won't reinforce what some people think of Eurovision to be as still full of silly comedy songs with people in funny costumes.
I mean, I'm curious you went with Private Walker. In terms of what he actually looked like, because I actually went back even further. I thought, that's George Cole playing Flash Harry from the St. Trinians films.
Yes, is that as well, of course. Yes, I forgot about
him. So there's a long line of British character actors.
Yes, the Spiv.
Yeah,
he looks as if he's trying to sell you
a winning Eurovision song.
Parachute silk to make knickers out of.
Anyway, Dave.
you know, we have disagreed, you and I, tonight, haven't we, Ewan? And I think all five, through hit, miss and maybe. I watched Sanremo so very carefully this year, hoping for a couple of songs that would win, and I was terribly disappointed when he won. Only kidding.
Oh, no, really, because if you turned around and said, I would have won Bianca Adsai to win, Sanremo, I would have been happy with that as well. Let's face it, it was a strong Sanremo this year.
It was a very strong Sanremo, and I think that there's room for a song like this for Italy and for this year. And if, you know, respectfully, if Serbia or Macedonia were singing this, we wouldn't feel the same way. We feel this way because it's the Italian language. That means that there are certain ingredients to the package that they are selling, and I'm buying it. I'm absolutely buying it. I get it. I understand the lyrics need explanation. So therefore, you can sing in Italian. I'm glad they didn't decide to sing in English. That would have lost its charm. It's monkey magic on stage. And I think that for me, when you've got a dramatic ending, there is nothing that I like better than a dramatic ending. And Annabelle Conde sealed all my dreams all these years ago. And I never thought anyone would come that fast to surprise me at the end of a song. And here he has. So I think it's terrific. It's a great package. Eurovision needs this. And we'll be talking about this, just like we did with Verka.
The interesting thing I have is I always like to try and take notes of the first time that I hear a song, because of the amount of times we hear them throughout the season and just sitting there on loop, that I have to remember what it was like the first time I hear a song. And for me, this is a really easy one, because Sanremo doesn't release any of the tracks beforehand. The first time you hear them as press is in the one and only dress rehearsal you get access to, in which you're banned from taking anything electronic. You can take a notepad and pencil in, that's fine. So I've got my handwritten notes that I wrote during the first listen of this. And about halfway through, and I've said this before, I leaned over to the Italians that I knew and said, that's the one that can win Eurovision, but I don't think it can win Sanremo. I literally go back to my notes there. I had Sergio Silvestre ahead of this one slightly. I had Fiorella Manoia ahead of this one as well. I had Elodie ahead of this one, and I had it equal with Bianca Adsai. So I had this like fourth or fifth for Sanremo. But of course, knowing that if Fiorella won, she would probably not go, and then REI could choose anybody. And that was about halfway through the song, and then the gorilla turned up, and I went, this is so winning. This is the one, in the same way that you had Stickman for Heroes and Mons Elmerlo, people watching at home on Saturday night, yep, the one with the Stickman, I'm voting for that. The one with the beard, the one with the guy dressed in tinfoil, the one with the gorilla. This is instantaneous. It is addictive. Every time you think the song is getting a little bit boring, it shifts gears and brings in something else, clunky edit notwithstanding. And then you have that hook to remind it at the end of the contest when you have the video recap. In terms of a song that is tailored for a song contest, I don't think you'll find a finer example in the last couple of years than Occidentale's Karma. It has the same sort of power that Fairy Tale had. It has the same sort of power that only Teardrops have. And to boot, I really like the song, unlike only Teardrops. I fell in love with this song a minute and a half into it on Monday, the 4th of February at Sanremo. I've not fallen out of love with it. I know people will look at it and go, oh, that is just Eurovision by numbers with the gimmick and stuff, but I don't care. Ben, I understand your opinion. I understand the fact that that everybody has a different idea of what the Eurovision Song Contest is. And for many people, this is not what the Eurovision Song Contest is. But for me, it's in Italian, it shows a new culture, there is depth to the lyrics, there is depth to the song when you go underneath it, both lyrically and musically. It makes me get up and sing. I've mastered the dance, Euro Club dance floor. I know what I'm doing this year. I am there, and I will never use the word. I will never use the word guilty pleasure, because pleasure should never be guilty. This is the one for me. That's why this contest is so great. There are hundreds of millions of people watch it. Everybody has a different attitude, and at the end of it, we can all vote on the one we like the most.
Well, we know, because we've looked at the translations, whatever, we know that the gorilla costume, I was going to say a chimp costume, the gorilla costume, it has meaning to the song, as there's reference to Naked Ape, isn't there? But the vast majority of people at home won't know that.
I didn't have that during the San Remo dress.
But so won't most people think, oh, they've just shoved on a... Won't the jury think they've just shoved on a man in a gorilla suit?
I think that's the point where the PR and having the storyline and having the time to build up to this. The jurors who are going to be the jury room know Eurovision. They'll have read Eurovision online. They'll be... These storylines that are coming out of the preview concerts and during February and March are all visible. So to think that we'll have jurors going in with no knowledge whatsoever of the song, I think is naive. I think that what we all understand about the song, the jurors will all understand about the song.
I think when I've watched the Sanremo performance, and I think when you see it there, you see that because it's an orchestra on stage, isn't there? You see them joining in, they shout out, and you know there's almost a participation element in there. And I think in that environment and in environments like the preview parties, it does kind of work because you've got the audience shouting back the lyrics, and I don't think we will get that on the Eurovision stage.
I completely disagree with that. That's the point where I will completely disagree with you. You're gonna the all around the stage is all guy ticketed fans. You've got a backdrop. You just need to put the word "Ale." You've been at the preview concerts. The whole audiences are joining in. They will be queued up, ready to go on the soundboard. Bring the audience in for the "Ale"s. That I have. If there's anything I'm going to have a concern about, it is not that.
I don't think it's the walk away winner that a lot of people think it will be.
I mean, I just think that, well, you want to sign up for something in Eurovision that's likable, it's distinctable, it's cultural, it's something that you feel is identifiable. And I think it's got all of these, I really do.
You've stole those lyrics from Dick Van Dyke, haven't you? It's identifiable, it's likable, it's distinctable. And I've just made up that word as well. Distinctable. Distinctive. Can you use it in a sentence, please, Dave? Right then, hit, miss, or maybe. Ben, kick us off.
Well, let me get my teeth into this one. No, I always wonder when I'm giving this vote whether I should vote as I think the audience will vote or what I think. And I know this is going to be a hit at Eurovision. I just know it is. And I'm sure this time next year I'll be talking to you and we'll be planning going to Milan. But for me, it's a big miss.
Definitely a hit for me.
And it is definitely a hit from me. But that, of course, gives us a controversial result. That's Ben Morris illustrations. yes, Italy. Second place in this week's Jukebox Jury.
As it will be at the contest as well.
Oh, he's gathered, beating
there, Ben.
Yeah. It draws up level on points both with the United Kingdom and Poland, but on Count Mac, we hand it with two hits going towards Italy. But it means that Azerbaijan sneaks in at the very end to take away the popular winner and take this round of Jukebox Jury back to Baku. Back to Baku with skeletons. Now, the traditional question we always have here at the end of these Jukebox Juries is, can the winner of this round of Jukebox Jury win the Eurovision Song Contest?
No.
Who's going to win, Ben?
Oh, my goodness. Well, there are so many strong songs. My personal favourite is Finland. Whether it's got enough to win it, I don't know.
But seriously, let's roll back. Azerbaijan, can they win the Eurovision Song Contest?
No, because I think her vocals will let her down.
Yeah, and I've addressed the point as well. I think it's just going to be a little bit too harsh on stage. You need something likeable to win the contest, you know, possibly something called Gerald from Not the 9 o'clock News. And Azerbaijan doesn't have that.
No, Azerbaijan are second or third for me. It's a very impactful song, but it's not good enough to win.
So there we are. That is this episode of Jukebox Jury to a close. Yes, you can leave your comments on the website, and I look forward to reading them. Ben doesn't.
If they're not complimentary about Italy, I'll read all of them.
Yeah, excellent. I'm sure you will have fun there. ESCinsight.com. All that remains for me to say thank you to my judges, selected for their own opinions, their own thoughts, and generally having a bit of fun as well. Ben Morris.
Thank you, Ewan.
And also Dave Cargill.
Thank you so much, Ewan, for a great host. I flew especially over from Los Angeles to be here. It's well worth it.
You idiot. You should have just flown to Austin for the second show. Thanks very much for listening. That's been Jukebox Jury. I'm Ewan Spence. Only remains for us to go to the end of the show, and Dave will take us there.
Cue the guitars.
Don't use that.